Lord, bless our hearts and our minds this morning, that we hear deeper than just our own intellect, that it's your words of spirit and life becoming a part of our life and experience. Speak to us, change us, draw us into your presence, Lord. I think so important today in understanding what God is doing in the earth is understanding how his spirit is moving to heal our hearts and heal the relationships that we are in. Hosea 6 speaks of return to the Lord. You know, we love those verses. And in a sense, we all sense that. In everything we're going through, there's a pull of our spirit returning to who Jesus Christ really is. Not necessarily a return to religion. Sometimes many of us need to be healed from that kind of pull. Returning to the person of Jesus Christ and his love and his life. Well, in that is also a returning or a turning to the healing that God has for us in our relationships. I think we struggle with this because anytime we deal with relationships, oneness, though we know that's what it's all about, there's a lot of pain connected with that. Relationships are hard for us, aren't they? As human beings, they don't come easy, and we go through a lot of painful experiences with people. Yet that's where the reality in the life is. And even though it is painful for us, the Holy Spirit keeps drawing us back to that place where we can experience oneness with one another. You look at the church age, and we've had a few thousand years of it. The church age and the church has not been void of anointing or gifts or movings of God's Spirit or revelation of his word. Yet throughout all the blessing that God has done through the church, there still remains all the pockets of division and broken relationships. And the word says a house divided will not stand. And I think we need to realize that John 17 and the emphasis that Jesus made on oneness is the heart of what the kingdom of God is all about. We can have anointing and gifts, and we can fill our churches with thousands and thousands of people and have thousands of programs and be doing many wonderful things. But Christ being revealed is dependent upon the oneness of spirit that God is restoring to the body. I think that's why I could probably go into any church anywhere, and if I opened up this Bible to John 17, I doubt there'd be anyone that would raise their hand saying, we don't believe in that. There's something just universal in the body of Christ. When you hear about oneness and love, something deep within just resonates and says yes to it. But even though we witness to it, again, because relationships are painful and we really don't understand them that well, and our human nature is always getting in the way of the love of God and how he wants to cement us together, we're easily moved away from that reality into the doing. And that's why, though John 17, everyone says amen to it, what churches generally will focus on, and all of us really in our human religious nature, is the Martha side and the doing side, because we're more comfortable with that. We don't have to be so vulnerable, so open. It's not as painful, right? But the healing of relationships is what the Holy Spirit does. And let's be open, because it's not a matter of just a bunch of fragments making an end to some goal. I think we sometimes see the kingdom of God as breaking into something and just, we got to get there first. It's about a body that Jesus Christ is head over. We can't do it without the right relationships in the body. We can't avoid the oneness. Now, we have problems with this in our own thinking, because just the way we view things. In our natural, we're viewing the body of Christ. We have trouble with scriptures like the first shall be last and the last shall be first. That offends my ego. Because, you know, you work hard to be first, right? In the world, you work hard to be first. And when you work and get that promotion, you don't want someone demoting you to the end of the line. You see, the way God does things is so different from the way we think. That's the way the natural kingdoms work, not his kingdom. We tend to give honor to those that already have honor. Look at how the churches are set up. There's kind of a built-in hierarchy. In some places, it's more subtle than others. Some it's very obvious. Position thinking. But people that already have honor, everybody crowds around and gives more honor to. And yet God says to the more unseemly members in the body, that's where I bestow my honor. So when it comes to building the body of Christ, I mean, our own ego, our own pride are working against the process. We can't do it. And I've got good news for you. We don't have to do it. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. We're going to read something in just a moment about that. What we need to learn is how to fully cooperate and submit and surrender to the Spirit so that he can make the body one. Everyone is believing for Christ to be revealed. And if you can kind of look at the body of Christ like a puzzle, all the pieces coming together, and through that comes a revelation of the person of Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. You see, with our minds, we don't put the puzzle together. That's too often what happens in churches. We try to figure everything out. We try to replace the mind of Christ with our own thinking and putting things together. It doesn't work that way. Jesus Christ is being and will be fully revealed through this human mess that God has created called us. But it's going to be done his way. And all of us are just parts in that big picture. We all fit together. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Familiar passages, but we can see something a little bit new with them. Ephesians 4, and it talks about God giving the apostles and prophets, and let's just go down to verse 12. All the things that he gives to the body, the giftings, the ministries, the gifts of the Spirit, it's for the equipping in verse 12 of the saints, for the work of service, the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. Let me stop right here. Where we get hung up and where division is spread generally has to do with knowledge, isn't it? People get divided, churches get divided because what they think they know about Jesus differs from some other group. And we say, well, that doctrine can't be right if this doctrine is right. And we tend to be black and white in our thinking. That doesn't help matters any. You know, it's got to be this way. We don't realize, or we have difficulty realizing, that God is greater than our minds. How dare he, right? Our minds give us security, gives us a sense of knowing what's going on in life, and yet even life is greater than our minds. Tell me life doesn't surprise you all the time. How many times have you cried out, this isn't fair, what's happening? Life is doing something to you that your mind didn't anticipate and didn't want. So this unity of the knowledge of the Son of God is an ongoing process. I would say it's a rather slow process, given the resistance our minds give God, our stubbornness, right? Our pride. But we all are going to come into the mind of Christ. There is that day when we will all see things the way God sees them. We are not living that right now. This planet is filled with people who love God, who think very differently. And I don't think we're ever going to lose the diversity in the body of Christ. Oneness is not sameness. But there will be that point of maturity where we all have his thoughts. And our errant thinking is going to be replaced with the revelation of who he is. But what do we do now in the time when that's not evident? And groups are going around, people say, well, I've got to convince someone to think like me. And you know what? Someone can conform to your thinking. It doesn't make them one with your heart. Conformity has nothing to do with oneness. What the Spirit is doing right now, before we have that unity of thinking, the knowledge of who Jesus is the unity of faith. And that's on a heart level. What is faith all about? Faith in Jesus, who the Son of God is. What did Jesus say? How hard is it? Just believe who I am. Believe that the Father sent me. And you see, that unity of faith is a turning that's happening within people right now. Turning away from our pride in what we know, what we think we know, to be one with another person because we sense that love for God in their heart just like we have in our heart. You know, often I don't know that we even discern hearts that well. And the more religious we become, I think some ways the more blind we may become to other people's hearts. You can look and say, well, that person doesn't know God. Maybe they don't know God the way you know God. Maybe you're prejudiced. You're looking at things to know God means they have to come the same way up the mountain that I've come. But I tell you, when we can attain to the unity of faith, this oneness of spirit and heart with people, We're going to be able to see their heart. We're going to be able to see, I think it's going to surprise us, how we see the love of God in so many people that we maybe didn't see before. We won't have eyes to see until we turn away from our own pride and let God work that oneness and restore relationships to us. Right now, the Spirit is healing relationships so that we can be of the one faith, one heart together. And out of that will come the one mind. And it won't be my mind that everybody finally realizes how right I've been about things. It'll be the mind of Christ. Every one of us is going to turn away from our thinking more drastically than I think than any of us have anticipated. Till we come to a mature person, the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And it goes on and says, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. See how this flows? When God can cause us to turn in the right way to one another, and we can love one another, what becomes the issue? Not all these little parts. What part are you? Are you functioning right? Does the body think? The body just functions because it's all connected to the head. When we are functioning correctly together, when we are loving one another, the only focus we're going to have is Jesus Christ being our head. Not some leader. The leader can have be gifted in the Spirit, dynamic in the Spirit, but that leader is connected to the same head that you are. We're going to see ministries differently. We're going to see things a lot differently than we have in the past. The movement mentality that had kind of risen up around heroes of the faith, and of course when they're gone, often people have not developed their own walk in the Spirit. Movements tend to go off on a ditch somewhere, detour off. When everything's connected to the head, there will be no deception in the body. Everything will continue to move forward. You can just picture this, all the members connected to the head, and then what's happening with all the members? There's this love flowing and everything is growing. It's all a natural flowing of the Spirit. But all the members are ministering that love one to another. I like the picture painted in Joel, the prophet, when he talks about the army. And one place it says, they'll not crowd one another. Everyone will march in his own path. How do we do that? Does it mean everyone's independent, just thinking about their ministry? No, it means everyone's connected to the head, so you're not trying to crowd someone else out. You're walking in what the Lord's called you to walk in, and there's that love flowing for every other member. What are we called to do? One's a liver, one's a kidney. You know how the body works? It works in oneness. You can't just take one part and say, this is all we need is a kidney here. How healthy is a body going to be? All we need is an arm. All we need is a leg. We tend to think that way in the natural, and we wonder why we're not healthy. You see, Jesus Christ being the head, every member is important. No one's going to be left behind. We tend to leave people behind because, again, we look and we think, well, that person is stumbling or that person is not worthy of our expectations. Has nothing to do with the lamb that was slain. God looks down and says, I love my people. I love whom I've created. And I'll keep working patiently till they all come together in love. And we'll have that same heart and realize we're not being left behind. It's a beautiful picture. There's a turning right now. Parts one to another. Malachi 4:6, the prophet speaks, he will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. Speaking of Elijah coming before the great day of the Lord. And of course, Jesus said, Matthew 17, he talks about that John the Baptist was Elijah, if you can hear it. What's happening before the Lord comes and before he came to the earth? John the Baptist was preparing the way. What was taking place? A repentance, a turning. And that's what's happening in this hour. Before this great coming of the Lord, and I'm speaking right now of his coming forth within his people. The body of Christ revealing the person of Jesus Christ in all his glory. What's happening? That spirit of Elijah again. John the Baptist, a restoring, turning hearts one to another. healing relationships. I don't think we're going to see the kingdom of God being the force in this planet that we all believe for. We have the faith for it. Until we're rightly connected with one another in love. I think more and more our focus is going to be where Jesus was in John 17. We can go there in a minute. Colossians 3:14 says, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Then if you turn to John 17, and of course there's so many verses there dealing with oneness and unity, Jesus spoke that they may be perfected in unity. And what's the outcome of that? The world may believe and know that the Father sent me. Everything in the church is focused on how do we convince this world that Jesus Christ is the way. Put on love. And the outcome of putting on love is oneness. And when there's oneness, people are going to believe because they're going to see the risen Lord. People don't need to be talked into things. Whatever you talk someone into, someone else that's a little bit smarter, a little more, bit more charismatic can talk them out of it. This is not about mind control. It's about a revelation of the love of the Father through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, this wonderful destiny, how do we fit into it? Well, we're all different parts, and God has to reveal that, but I'll tell you what, with all of us, we're learning to put on love and fit together in love. And that's what causes the will of God to go forward. Let me just read a few more verses about love, and this is how we respond to one another. John 13:35. Aren't you glad I'm not going through all the verses on love in the New Testament? By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Again, there's the power of the oneness of the body. All people, you know you're my disciples. That basically people look and say, you are living epistles. When we read you, we see Jesus Christ. That's called effective evangelism. Why? You have love one for another. Galatians 5:13 through 16, it says, you can read these later, but you are called to freedom, brother, and only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbors yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Oh, unfortunately, so much of the church world is still focused on the law, isn't it? Jesus said he fulfilled the law and the prophets. But right here, what a beautiful thing. Loving one another, what does it say that what we're doing? The law is fulfilled in that. Basically, why? Because we're walking in Christ. That's what he did. How should we be treating one another? Should we lay in expectations on one another, rules on one another? No, that's why it says, beware lest you bite and devour. And that goes on so much in relationships, this biting. And a lot of times with that religious mindset, well, they need to be bitten. There's something wrong there. I've got to bite it off. I've got to correct it. You can see what's wrong with another person, but if you're not relating in love, God's will is not being done. We don't need to correct one another near as much as we think. We need to just be able to relax and love one another because the whole law of God, the law of God? That's perfect, isn't it? The law of God is everything he wants. It says here is fulfilled in one statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How simple. I can't do the law of God. I cannot do it. It's the most frustrating thing in the world. We cannot get there from here. But I can love you and love myself. And if we're moving in love, we've fulfilled what God wants from us. One last verse about love and I'll stop. 1 John 3:14, and it says this, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love one another. Powerful, powerful. What he's talking about is passing out of the death that belongs in just the natural fleshly realm into what? The life of God, resurrection life. How? Again, that love flowing in the body one to another, the healing and restoring of relationships. How did God reconcile the world to himself? says in Colossians 1:20, that's just what he did. Through him, Jesus Christ, he reconciled all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. How did God create oneness with us? For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Sacrifice of love brought about oneness. And we're going to see that more and more in how we relate to one another. The reality of oneness, not just the theory, the reality of living in oneness with one another will be because we're willing to sacrifice in love. That's the Father's heart. And as we do that, as we give up of our own self-life, our ego, you know, we're not giving up that much. That self-ego, false self gets us into trouble all the time anyway. It's what causes all our misery, all our mental conflicts, emotional conflicts. To lay that down and to minister and to move in love with one another, that sacrificial love, what's the fruit of that? Oneness of heart. It's well worth it. Well, I want to just speak a few minutes about relationships, and I want to talk about past, present, and future. Does that about cover it? Am I missing anything? I want to get down to a little bit of the personal where we live with this, because it's wonderful to embrace the theory of God's love. We desire it with all our hearts. And I think in looking at this, you realize that really the will of God centers around the relationship that we're to have with him and one another in love. But we struggle with relationships. The past, where we've been traumatized by people. You know, the past would be great if we could leave it in the past, but it doesn't stay there, does it? And whether it's a part of your conscious mind or not, we carry with us the fear and the trauma that happened to us through whatever we went through with a person or persons. And it affects our present, because we can't see our present with that person clearly if we're living in the past and we're filtering through the hurts of the past. It affects our future. How many people make decisions of who they'll be with based on what they've been through? And one of the saddest things is where people have been abused. And they may have forgotten about it, or they may have suppressed the memory of it, yet they'll make decisions about who they choose to be with, trying to work out of that abuse. So what we've gone through with one another, they're all tied together. It affects our present, it affects our future and our choices and how we are with each other. We need to be healed. You know, the past, the problem we have is when we go through something hard with someone, if you want to look at it this way, we're all like a book that the Spirit is writing. It's called Destiny. And when you go through something hard with someone, all of a sudden, you're reading that book of that person's life, you stop and say that it's over, the end, right? That person's life ends right there as far as you're concerned. And years can go by. And when you think about that person or persons, you're thinking about what happened years ago. Because to you, the book ended. But to God, it was just a chapter, maybe a very painful chapter in that person's life and in your life. So God keeps writing. And in order to be healed, is we need to be able to look at that person in a fresh way and see what they've become. You know, often people will look back and say, well, that person hasn't changed a bit. Something painful happened. But you know, really, if we're locked into, and we've ended the book for that person, you know what I'm talking about, and we're locked into that painful memory, that person probably has changed. We're the ones that haven't changed. Because it may be bitterness or resentment or just deep hurt, we refuse to see anything different than that past memory. So we need the Spirit to open our eyes to look at that person as more than just what happened back when. So we can look at them in the present with fresh new eyes and see what God's doing. Now maybe as you read on in that person's life, you say, well, they really haven't changed. Okay, at least you know. But I think often people do change just like we change. We don't want to be imprisoned in our past. And often we look and say, they haven't changed. What we're really saying is, we haven't changed. We're the ones imprisoned. We're the ones that aren't moving on. And in this healing that's coming by the Spirit, God is healing us from the past. We have to be willing to let go of it. Let's look at just a few examples. One powerful one has to do with the Apostle Paul. He's persecuting Christians. All of a sudden, he's converted, and he's going back into those same churches, speaking the resurrected Lord. Now, do you think some of those people had problems with him? Maybe some of those people lost family members that he was responsible for. And maybe at that point, the book about Paul, they closed it and said, that's it. He's done. To have to open that back up again and say, well, God, you kept writing here. This is a new man. Took some courage, didn't it? See, we have to be willing to let go of the past and realize that our thinking may not be correct. And to be able to see the writing that God has done in that person's life throughout the years of the time that's passed since we've been hurt. You know, it's interesting to look at David as he related to Saul. You remember when Saul was pursuing him, and Saul was vexed with evil spirits, and David couldn't come close to him, and yet David wouldn't touch him or kill him. David said, I'll not touch God's anointed. Well, Saul wasn't moving in much of an anointing when David said that, but you know, he was connecting with something that was true about Saul's heart. Part of this healing of relationships and being reconnected in love is allowing ourselves to be reconnected to who that person is on a heart level. It's not just about the painful things you may have been through. It's what has God spoken over that life? What word has God put in that heart? There's a connection there with it. Coming alive to that. The future. I think our future with one another gets hampered again by what I would call false expectations. You know, we're in relationship with someone, and in our mind we like to think we know where that person's headed. We have the ideas of where they need to go. You know, this applies in our relationships in church, our friends, marriages, with children. Relationships are relationships. You can't separate and say, well, this is part of church. This has to do with God's will. All your relationships have to do with God's will. But what the future gets kind of messed up because we have all, our thinking gets in the way. And one classic story is David and Jonathan. It's a beautiful one if you want to read that later. It's in the Old Testament. That's all I can narrow it down. Or it's Samuel, I think, somewhere. Anyway, Jonathan is Saul's son. David and Jonathan were close friends. They were just, their hearts were knit as one. Yet Jonathan helps David escape from Saul when Saul's pursuing him. Yet Jonathan doesn't go with him. And I've often ached about that, thinking Jonathan felt his place with his father. And I know that broke David's heart and Jonathan's heart, that they didn't go together. But you see how their futures were to unfold in a different way. And there was such love there that David didn't try to control Jonathan and say, no, you can't stay with your father, you belong with me, let's go. When there's enough love, we don't try to control one another. Our judgments of what people should or shouldn't be doing begin to fade in the background. And our hearts just knit with that person to see the will of God done. This is how in the future our relationships will grow and grow in oneness. Less judgments, less criticism, less of our expectations being imposed on that person, trying to control that person. When there's more love, it's just a matter of wherever you go, my heart goes with you. I will believe for God to lead you. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. In the present, do we have eyes to see who we are with one another? Do we have eyes to really recognize the wonder of God's Spirit working within us? Are we trying again because of the human need to control or past hurts? Are we somewhat blinded to seeing that? Well, this healing and restoring of loving one another is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling you're going to feel for people. It means deep inner change, a freeing of your own perception, a healing of your own blindness. Instead of externalizing everything, well, the reason I'm not with that person is they've done this, that, and the other, God is going to cause us to see the log in our own eye a lot clearer. And we're going to be able to see one another in a clearer way. Love will provide a sight of clarity, of seeing the truth that we've never had before. I think we've scratched the surface of this. But as this work begins to overtake us and we yield to the Spirit, what's going to happen? You have people brought together, not because they all agree together, or they think alike, or they try to act alike. Knit together by the love of the Spirit, a oneness that's born of God. And when you recognize that, you realize No matter if you don't see that person again for many years or the rest of your life or where that person goes, when you recognize your heart's been knit with another heart, you know it's eternal. There's something that can never change that. And as that sense and that perception, that awareness begins to overtake us, we begin to appreciate the oneness that we have in Jesus Christ. That is something solid that God can do anything through. He can change this world in a matter of seconds once his people know they are one with him and one with one another. Let's let the love of God overtake us. We all have reasons as to why relationships don't work. We all have excuses. We all have painful memories we can turn to. And the Spirit says, yes, all of that is true, but that is not greater than my love in you and in that person. Let's take a chance. Let's be willing to be open and vulnerable and humble. It requires a humility of heart to step out and say, I've been hurt, but I'm going to live in the love of God in my relationships. That's what Jesus did. That's the way of the Spirit. Amen. Let's stand.